Good morning, Symphony, and welcome to our morning devotional. Our passage today is 2 Samuel 24, verse 1 to 17. Verse 1. Again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he incited David against them, saying, "Go, number Israel and Judah." So the king said to Joab, the commander of the army who was with him, "Go through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, and number the people, that I may know the number of the people." But Joab said to the king, "May the Lord your God add to the people 100 times as many as they are, while the eyes of my lord the king still see it. But why does my lord the king delight in this thing?" But the king's word prevailed against Joab and the commanders of the army. So Joab and the commanders of the army went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. They crossed the Jordan and began from Aroer, and from the city that is in the middle of the valley toward Gad and on to Jazer. Then they came to Gilead and to Kadesh in the land of the Hittites. And they came to Dan, and from Dan they went around to Sidon, and came to the fortress of Tyre and to all the cities of the Hivites and Canaanites. And they went out to the Negeb of Judah at Beersheba. So when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. And Joab gave the sum of the numbering of the people to the king. In Israel, there were 800,000 valiant men who drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000. But David's heart struck him after he had numbered the people. And David said to the Lord, "I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now, O Lord, please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly." And when David arose in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and say to David, thus says the Lord, 3 things I offer you. Choose one of them, that I may do it to you." So Gad came to David and told him, and said to him, "Shall 3 years of famine come to you in your land? Or will you flee 3 months before your foes while they pursue you? Or shall there be 3 days of pestilence in your land? Now consider and decide what answer I shall return to him who sent me." Then David said to Gad, "I am in great distress. Let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercy is great. But let me not fall into the hand of man." So the Lord sent a pestilence on Israel from the morning until the appointed time. And there died of the people from Dan to Beersheba 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand toward Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the calamity and said to the angel who was working destruction among the people, "It is enough. Now stay your hand." And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. Then David spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel who was striking the people and said, "Behold, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Please let your hand be against me and against my father's house." Amen. I really love today's passage. I think it shows God's character incredibly, and I can't wait to get into it. So at this point, God's anger was kindled against Israel. They had been quite dramatic with a potential rebellion, which left divisive cracks within the people. Scholars believe that the "he" in verse 1 refers to Satan, who influenced David to take a census, which was displeasing to the Lord. This was probably because David's motive was self-seeking and prideful. Perhaps he wanted to see the reach of his influence and how big his army had accumulated to. This was not a commandment that God had given him, yet despite several warnings from David's commanders, he spent the next 10 whole months collecting the census of Israel. Finally, David comes to his senses and realized how greatly he had sinned. He asks for forgiveness and recognizes his foolish ways. But here is where we see God do something incredibly interesting. Israel was deserving of death. David's sin was deserving of death. God had every right to end them right there once again. Yet he gives David a choice. He gets to pick his own punishment. Weird, right? Why would God even do that? Well, I think that God gives David the choice because God is mercy. His character is merciful. He could have done whatever he wanted and it would have been just. Yet God in his mercy gives David the choice. Let's continue. The choices were number one, 3 years of famine. Number two, 3 months of being pursued by the enemy. Or number three, 3 days of plague in Israel. Which one would you choose? Would you make a pros and cons list? What would be the deciding factor of the ultimate decision? For David, he chose the punishment based on the character of God. Number one and two would make him at the mercy of his neighboring enemies, but number three would be at the mercy of God. And David knew that the mercy of God was greater than the mercy of men. And we see the consequence of both David and Israel's sin resulting in the death of 70,000 men. It's tragic and is once again another reminder that our sin affects not only ourselves, but those around us as well. Yet we see in verse 16, God relenting from the calamity and tells the angel of destruction to stop. This leads David to contend for Israel. What have they done? Please punish me instead. We could look at this passage with misunderstood eyes. How can a loving God kill 70,000 innocent men? Well, my answer to that is this. They aren't innocent. None of us are. Israel was given mercy time and time again for generation after generation. They all sinned, both individually and collectively. It sounds crazy, but they deserved to die. And we too deserve to die for our sins with the full wrath of God. Yet God, in his mercy, he decides to relent his wrath. He shows immense mercy to both David and Israel. We will see more of God's mercy played out in tomorrow's devotional, but for now, we can clearly see God's mercy triumphing over judgment, just like it says in James 2. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And ultimately, we see the mercy of God manifest as man, Jesus Christ, who atoned for all of our death-deserving sins, who took on our judgment so that we could be with the Father for eternity, blameless and righteous in his sight. This is incredible. This is the good news. Yet we must not overlook a key part of this passage, David's repentance. When Jesus proclaimed the gospel message, it was this: repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. See, this was not David's first mistake and offense against God. He has learned how important repentance is. He has learned that when he repents and renders his heart towards him, he experiences firsthand the great mercy of God. So let's take some time today to reflect on our own lives and to repent for our sins. Perhaps our disobedience does not look just like David's, but the posture of our hearts can often look the same, filled with pride and self-dependence. Maybe we even have sins that others have warned us against, just like how Joab and the army commanders did. So like David, let us come before God today and seek his mercy. Let's pray. God, we declare how amazing you are. Though we were enemies, you took us in and chose to pour out your mercy and forgiveness upon us. And just like that song we sing, we thank you that your mercy truly is as endless as the sea. We acknowledge this about you and ask that we would experience it as we turn away from our hearts and turn to you, God. May you reveal more of yourself to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.